Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you with us. Ready to roll on a Saturday morning. Will Docker here alongside six-time major participant and the greatest swing coach in the history of golf, Charlie Epps. A lot to do. We've got John Bellmer behind the ones and twos.
What Johnny, good to see you.
Charlie, how are we doing this morning?
You know, I'm highly motivated. Memorial Day weekend.
That's right.
America is getting ready for summer. Summer trips, summer vacations. But who's going to win the 500? I don't know any of the drivers anymore.
I don't know a thing about racing, Charlie. So let's get to golf. A lot to do today. Fourth and final leg of the Texas swing. Underway at Colonial, you've got the senior PGA at Harbor Shores going on.
Michigan.
Richard Bland leads the way. I thought he was a live golfer.
He was. Yeah. But I guess he can play both sides of the, you know, he's a senior, so.
Yep.
That's an interesting story.
He's playing well.
Yes.
Another story coming out of Harbor Shores. Bernhard Langer's back. We saw him at the Insperity Invitational coming back 3 months after getting his Achilles heel repaired. He was given a cart by PGA of America at the PGA Championship. Mark Calcavecchia took to Twitter. He said, "I've got a bum back and bum knees, and I can't get a cart. Why can't Cal get a cart?"
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We got a couple guests on today. We'll get Tim Schmidt from USA Today's Golf Week on at 8:30 live from Colonial. Maybe give us a little update on some of these rules questions from the senior PGA, and then at 8:45 we'll have NBC Sports Brently Romain on from the NCAA Championships. Charlie, Oklahoma contending, Texas contending, a lot on the line there at the NCAAs out in California.
Yes, and it's the same thing. The ladies played last week and Stanford won. That was exciting. Against UCLA, USC got beat. The
and
ladies
Adela
really,
Saranik out of A&M won the individuals.
Yes, by a bunch.
Yeah,
she was really a great player
from France.
So it's good to see the ladies championship be at the same golf course with the men, and you can relate now. And college golf is really big time.
It's in a great spot. We heard some news from the NCAA earlier this week that the NCAA would start directly paying players. Now, Charlie, we know that football players and basketball players are going to be taken care of by the NCAA. I'll be interested to get a feel from Brently of NBC Sports at 8:45 to see, you know, where will golfers stand? Will Blades Brown get a check from the NCAA next year? Will Charlie Wiley get a check from the NCAA next year?
Is it retroactive?
Well,
am I eligible?
No.
I played in 64.
They will hand the money out starting with athletes from 2016. You are not eligible. Spieth is not eligible.
I got 1 year more of eligibility.
You do.
Should I go back?
You did Toledo.
Toledo.
You should have been at Stanford.
Toledo, I should have been.
But you did what, 3 or 4 years at Toledo?
Toledo. No, I did it. Well, almost 2 years, because I was drafted in the Army, and then after, you know, when I was let out of the Army, I went back on the GI Bill.
I don't think you have any eligibility left.
No. But, you can always try, right?
Of course. Of course. As far as Colonial, a couple exciting names at the top of this leaderboard, Pearson Cootie. When you're talking about the NCAA championships, Pearson Cootie was right there a year ago. He's now contending at Colonial. We'll be excited to see him get going this weekend. Keegan Bradley's right there. Adam Scott, pretty exciting leaderboard from Colonial. We'll get to that, Charlie. Let's start with some review from the PGA Championship. I think the question that everyone is wondering is, what did Xander Schauffele get right this time?
You know, it only takes time. Yeah. You just got to stay in the fray. You got to stay there. Don't get discouraged. And he didn't get discouraged, and he just kept doing what he's been doing for so long, and my hat's off to him. And he never got down. He understood. You know, he got beat by Rory McIlroy, played a hell of a round of golf on Sunday.
2 weeks ago at Quail.
So I thought the PGA was awesome.
Yeah.
I thought it was very entertaining. The golf course sure was a little weak because of soft greens.
Yeah.
That's really a...
You had rain going into the week.
Yeah.
What can you do about that?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You just take it. You know, some courses, they can dry them out, but the rain that we've gone through in the last month, like here in Houston and then up at your place.
Yeah, up in Trinity at Conroe.
How many inches?
Yeah, that Conroe, Livingston, that area, Trinity, Huntsville, about 38 inches.
38 inches
over the
rain.
Last 4 weeks. So, big problem. Valhalla didn't get that much going into the PGA, but they got enough.
Yep.
And in 2024, if you put these pro golfers on a soft golf course, they are going to go low. It doesn't quite matter where you are.
But, you know, that last day, that last hole, Schauffele had an incredibly hard second shot because the ball was so much higher than his feet, and he ripped it. And that was, to me, the shot that won the tournament for him.
His feet were in the sand. Ball was up out of the sand.
Right.
He said after his round his fear was the shank out of that particular lie.
All sorts of shanks.
How can the listener at home, you know, when the ball's above their lie, feet in a bunker, ball not, how can they manage that situation?
Kick it out in a fairway. I mean, all of a sudden, your swing is more on a horizontal plane. And
it's like a baseball swing.
You don't practice that.
Yeah.
And that heel can run into the ball. But he did it marvelously, and I was proud of it. A
couple things on Xander. You know, those two up and downs on 17 and 18, I thought showed a lot. When he lost that tournament at the Wells Fargo 2 weeks ago to Rory, he said after the round, you know, everything went very well, but the short game let me down the stretch.
Yeah. He was a chipping and putting fool there.
Yep. You fast forward a week later, 17 and 18 of Valhalla. I thought those two up and downs from Xander were so huge. Now, another thing that a lot of people were talking about with Xander is the subtle increases in distances he's made.
Subtle.
He hasn't gone about it like Luke Donald, you know, where you try to gain all of it fast and it ruins your short game. He's done this in a subtle way. I thought Jordan Spieth described it perfectly this week in his pre-round presser at Colonial. Let's hear Spieth talk about Xander's improvement in distance.
One thing that he's been doing that's been different is he's looked to add speed, but did it like very methodically, very quietly, very in the dark. It's been amazing watching him go after tournament rounds, like on Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and he'll go to the workout trailer and hit a heavy gym session after the round. And it's not common out here. Like, there's a few guys that'll do it, but it's still not common. Everybody goes before now. 10, 12 years ago, half the field went before. Now everybody does. But he's going after and hitting these heavy workouts with a goal in mind that he thought would gain a slight advantage over something. He already had a lot of speed. You know, and he did it while maintaining his consistency in a short game, and it just allowed him to hit shorter clubs in the greens, maybe over the course of four rounds, being a shot or two. And the way he approached that patiently is extremely inspiring.
Well, it also adds to his endurance. He's in excellent shape, and going into the Olympics, he's got a chance to be a two-time gold medal winner. But
I'm excited for
you
that.
You know, I'm my hat's off to Xander, all the young guys, you know, look back at what he's had to put up with. He's playing lights out, and all of a sudden, some guy comes from behind with Rory McIlroy and shoots that 64 on the last day. But
how about all the questions from the press week after week, Charlie?
Yeah, but
when are you going to close? When are you going to close? When are you going to close?
Yeah, he was closing, but other guys were playing better. That happens in sport. You know, that's incredible. Once again, it was a great championship. The golf course was really fun to watch. The Valhalla golf course in Kentucky.
Yeah.
in Louisville. And within 8 miles of that course, there's eight other golf courses. Louisville is a great golfing, you know, city. And they sold over 200,000 tickets. The PGA did a heck of a job in preparing the golf course. And then the owners of the golf course did a good job of doing their job. So it was a big success.
All things considered, great golf tournament. I still think it is ridiculous. You have people calling for Valhalla to never host a major again. Are you kidding me with the last three finishes that we've...
A lot of people that just don't understand the game.
2000 Tiger, yeah. 2014 Rory taking down Ricky and Phil.
The Ryder Cup.
Ryder Cup with Boo Weekly riding the horse down the first.
Who was the team captain at that Ryder Cup?
Oh,
Zinger.
Man. Paul A. Zinger.
That's it. You know, and what a competitive Ryder Cup. It was a battlefield during the world, the Confederate War. You know, that kind of stuff. So the stage was set, and it was. I enjoyed it so much, except when our lights went out.
Oh, speaking of roars at Valhalla, how about the Bryson DeChambeau effect we saw last week?
He distinguished himself. He came out and put it on the line and did some things that only he can do. I mean, he's got those clubs jacked up. I mean, he can hit an 8-iron 240 yards. I mean, come on. But he
gets fired up, Charlie. Yeah. He adds a little bit of emotion. You know, to this day, I will say that there is not a golfer on Liv's roster that is crucial for the survival of the PGA Tour, but it was nice to have Bryson there. A year ago, this guy was focused on protein shakes and long drive contests. You fast forward to this year, he's top 10 at both majors going into the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. I hope we see that throwback Payne Stewart hat from Bryson at Pinehurst. He's got to be my favorite going to the next major here in 2 weeks,
and
Charlie.
Then we have the LIV tournament coming to Houston.
We do. June 6th through the 9th, we will be there Saturday. Looking forward to it. It is going to be hot. June in Houston. But Golf Club of Houston up for the task. Golf course is looking great. I'm excited to see Bryson. And when you talk about just one more thing on Bryson, when you talk about Bryson's effect and what he has other players thinking about, I thought it was very telling to hear Xander talk about avoiding Bryson in a playoff on Sunday. You don't hear that from elite players. Yeah. Usually elite players say, I'll take anyone on in a playoff, right. No problem. Let's hear Xander talk about Bryson and why he wanted to avoid a playoff.
This is 18. It's like a driver pitching wedge for him, or like a 9-iron maybe. I don't even know, you know, if he like tomahawks draw off the water, it's literally going to be like a driver 9-iron maybe. I mean, you can ask him 8-iron. So it's just one of those things, you know, if you run that stat in your head, sort of like who has the advantage, it's the guy who hits it further. You know, if we're playing like a long par 3 or like a short par 4 or something like that, maybe I feel like I'd have an edge. But you just, you know, I kind of calculate those things in my head, and I knew it was important to take advantage of that.
It's true.
It is. He's got that effect. Bryson DeChambeau going to be a top favorite going into Pinehurst. Charlie, we got to take a break here. On the other side, we will give an update regarding Scheffler and the faulty arrest that was made by the Louisville Metro Police Department. At 8:30, we will get Tim Schmidt from USA Today on the line. Give us an update from Colonial at 8:45. We've got Brentley Romine of NBC Sports coming in, giving us an update from California on the NCAA championships. A lot to do. Charlie Epps, Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, back after this.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Nice to have you with us. Davis Riley leads the way at Colonial, 66-64, 10 under par for the Alabama alum, Davis Riley. You've got Pearson Cootie in a tie for second. PGA Tour winners like Sung J.M., Keegan Bradley, Sepp Straka, all in a tie for fourth at 6 under. We'll get to an update on Scotty Scheffler here in a moment. But first, Charlie, how about a word from our good friends over at Insperity?
You know, let's talk business. And if you're a small business owner, you got to listen to this. My recommendation, if you need some HR help, if you need some help growing your business, you want to grow your footprint, Insperity is a company that specializes in helping small businesses. And their moniker is they want to help small business succeed so communities can prosper. And Insperity and its chairman are all about people and treating people correctly. So what better partner you want in business today? Friendliness and their expertise is second to none. Now, believe this, 1986, they started a new company in Houston, Texas. It's already a $7 billion company. It's because they know what they're doing. So if you want help, small business owner, give them a call, log on to Insperity.com, and I guarantee you, you'll be happy you did.
We continue as far as the world of golf is concerned here on ESPN 97.5. The second major championship is behind us as far as what's coming up after Colonial. You've got the RBC Canadian Open. You've got Jack Nicklaus's tournament in the Memorial. And then we'll go to the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. One more thing on the PGA, Charlie. We got an update from Louisville Metro Police Department on Wednesday. Their investigation found that Officer Brian Gillis, who made the arrest on Scotty Scheffler on Friday when he was entering the gates of the PGA, they found that Gillis did not have his body camera on. They did find a poll camera that captured the whole arrest on film. And by the looks of the footage, I think we can all agree in the studio, everyone's agreed after seeing this video, it looks like the Officer Brian Gillis was way out of line in his communication with Scheffler.
Unfortunate. You know, this time in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, people sometimes aren't thinking right. And this officer was responding to somebody who had been killed on the highway.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it
someone,
was raining. And
an hour before.
Yeah. But also the officer's track record is not very good. You look into his past, he's done some stuff that he shouldn't have. So hopefully they can get this worked out. I thought Scotty was incredible. Cool, calm, and collected. I mean, here again, the second day of a major, and they put you in jail. They handcuff you.
Take your mugshot in an orange suit.
I want to get one of those orange suits. No, but he did it right. He started stretching in the jail cell.
Yeah.
To get himself ready for that day, and he got back to the golf course on time. He warmed up. He went out, shot a round of golf that was
66.
You know,
on Friday after the arrest,
unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know what my mother would have done to me if I'd have gotten thrown in jail playing in the PGA.
She probably would have not let you play.
But it was just a misunderstanding. That's it. That's what happens in life, and sometimes cooler minds have to prevail.
Officer Gillis did give a statement on why he arrested Scheffler. Here it is, and I quote, "While directing traffic in front of Gate 1, the PGA personnel stopped a bus. From entering Gate 1, I oversaw a vehicle traveling in the opposite lanes coming at me. I stopped the driver and advised him he could not proceed because of the bus. He demanded to be let back in and proceeded forward against my directions. I was dragged and knocked down by the driver, and then I proceeded to arrest him," quote, closed quotes. Now, there are three major issues with this statement.
Three lies.
Number one, Officer Gillis and Scheffler couldn't proceed into Valhalla because of a bus. John, Charlie, I mean, you watch this video. There's buses behind Scheffler. I don't see any buses in the way of Scheffler rolling through the gates of Valhalla.
No.
That's number one. Number two, when you watch the video of the arrest, no one, absolutely no one, specifically Gillis, was knocked to the ground or dragged down. That's a load of garbage.
That's it.
I know John Bellmer, our producer, informed me this morning, Gillis was not on detail, quote unquote, at the PGA. So he was not a part of the PGA staff. Nonetheless, I think it's your due diligence if you are a police officer on site at the PGA. I think you should have some kind of feel of who the best player in the world is.
Well, that, but also just common sense about traffic and why would this gentleman want to get to where he is getting? Ask him a question. What are you doing? I'm a PGA player. I've got to go work out, and I was told I was supposed to come through this gate. End of story.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. This was, and we'll move along in just a second, but the court date for this, to hear all this, was supposed to happen on Tuesday. It's been moved to June 3rd, and here's Scheffler's lawyer, Stephen Romines, on the matter yesterday afternoon.
Scottie Scheffler didn't do anything wrong. We're not interested in settling the case. We will either try it or it'll be dismissed. It's very simple.
Do you think the Scheffler camp is frustrated in the sense that this looked like a pretty good year for Scheffler to do something that had not been done since 1930, which is win the Grand Slam in one season, Bobby Jones, 1930? Do you think they're frustrated at all that I know, you know, when you look at his rounds since the arrest, 73, 65, 72, 65, do you think they're frustrated at all that this has thrown him off his mojo a little bit?
I hope not. I mean, life, you know, confronts you with different things at the wrong times all the time. And as long as he was, you know, safe and he's going to be pronounced innocent, let's get on with his life, and misunderstandings happen, and nobody eventually, you know, nobody in that situation got hurt.
Charlie,
so be it.
Yeah, Art Strickland asked Jordan Spieth in the press room about the Scheffler incident, of course, and Spieth laughs and goes, you know, it's too soon to start developing jokes around this arrest. It was a fun moment. Charlie, we've got Tim Schmidt from Golf Week coming on the next segment. Talk about Colonial. Great to have DFW natives Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth make the weekend with Scheffler contending, but one of the main storylines is how they've. Gil Hance has refreshed Colonial for the first time in about 40 years.
Yes, Colonial has been it's the oldest course on the PGA Tour. They've had, you know, hundreds of tournaments there, and they went ahead and didn't want to lose a year, so they did an emergency repair, if you will, changed some grass, changed some bunkers. Gil Hance is a hot commodity as far as the architect is concerned.
Yeah. So, and he's everywhere.
And I hope they kept the integrity of the golf course there, that Hogan won five tournaments five times, Hogan's Alley, and I think they
3-4 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great. The Colonial membership, they do a lot for charity, and this is part of their fundraising, so it's all good for everybody.
And I think their membership is happy. I think Hance did a great job making this making Colonial Golf Course where it'd still be enjoyable for members. But what a test it is for the PGA Tour. He lowered and added new contours on the greens. He took out a bunch of unneeded bunkers, brought in new Bermuda. Their old Bermuda was about 40 years old. And I thought, as far as the layout, Adam Scott described new Colonial perfectly. And who better to hear from? Adam Scott is the only man to win all four tournaments in the Texas Swing. He's around the top of the leaderboard heading into the weekend. A few back there, Adam Scott, 3-under, tied for 15th. Here is the 2013 Masters champion on the new and refreshed Colonial.
I think some of the classic old golf courses, certainly at the PGA Tour, but at a lot of the great clubs, you know, the agronomy is such at a high standard now, and sometimes when you've had grass on the course for 30 and 40 years and you know, it gets old and a bit tired, and now they have all new grass and it feels fresh and it's going to play very well, whether you're a member or playing this tournament this week, you know, there's a difference between hitting off a nice, tight, new fairway or 40-year-old kind of thatchy, matted fairways. And I'm not saying it was thatchy and matted here, but you know, a freshen up is nice. And I think Gil's incredibly experienced, and you know, when you go to these great historical clubs, you don't want to lose the character, and I think he's very aware of that, and I think he was very gentle with his approach here.
I think more courses on tour need to learn from what Colonial has done. And I love how the winning score of this tournament never gets past about 900 par, Charlie.
Yes. No.
Great to hear from Adam Scott. Touch of class.
Great venue. I'm not sure how long it's playing. A little over 7,000 yards, yeah. Par 70. So it's such a great historic facility. I mean, they've had the Ladies Open there. They've had, you know, it's the membership there really respect the game, and they do everything to promote golf.
Great spot, Charlie. Scottie Scheffler is 7 back of the lead going into the weekend at Colonial. He's still the favorite at +450, 7 back and still the favorite. You're not going to see that every week. We haven't seen stuff like that since Tiger. And Golf Week's Tim Schmidt is going to join us on the other side to give us a little more about it live from Fort Worth. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Stick around. Tim Schmidt at 8:30. Brentley Romine from the NCAA Championships at 8:45. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour presented by Insperity. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour, powered by Insperity, continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor and Charlie Epps.
Here we go. Charlie's waking me. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on USA on ESPN 97.5 Houston. We now welcome on the USA Today Golf Week's editor, Tim Schmidt, who joins us live from the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth, Texas. Tim, world number one Scottie Scheffler is 7 shots back of the lead and still the favorite to win this tournament heading into the weekend. Great to have you aboard, my friend. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Always great to talk to you guys. What a power-packed hour. You've got Brentley Romine coming up next, former Golf Week writer. I'm just honored to be part of this lineup, guys. And let me start by giving you a little bit of breaking news, which is kind of fun, which is not PGA Tour-related. But as I'm standing here at Colonial Country Club, I just got a text message from our esteemed LPGA reporter, Beth Ann Nichols, and Lilia Vu, who won the Chevron Championship, the first Chevron Championship in Houston last year.
Withdrew this year. Has
withdrawn from the U.S. Open, unfortunately. So some breaking news. That'll be a story that goes up soon on golfweek.com.
So Vu withdraws from the Chevron. I think it was back-related, Tim. Slow start to the season for Lilia. She is not going to play in this next major championship.
She is not, and that is such a shame because she had such a dynamic year last year, and injuries have just plagued her throughout this whole season. So a big shame to hear that she will not be. As a matter of fact, I was with my now 10-year-old daughter in the media center at the Chevron with Lilia last year, and I just remember this glow that she had about her, kind of knowing that she had so much great golf ahead of her, and unfortunately, it just hasn't played out that way with this injury.
I'll give you some breaking news. This is Charlie Epps, and I got a call from Uncle Cabrera last night, and he got his American visa.
He did?
Yes.
Well, you know my guy Adam Shupak's going to be interested to hear that as soon as I get off the phone with you.
There you go.
Charlie, you got a busy day, Ed. You're going to be on the phone with Adam all afternoon. How about that?
That's
good.
That's right.
Angel's coming back. Looking forward to seeing him. And once again, tough news there with Lilia Vu. Respectfully, I'm not sure if it's going to matter with how well Nelly Cord is playing, Tim.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, what we're seeing from Nelly is just, you know, otherworldly and so good for the game. I mean, the LPGA has needed a moment like this. I hope they're capitalizing on it as best they can. There are, you know, rumblings from multiple sides that they maybe could be doing a better job to capitalize on it. But, yeah, having a star like Nelly Korda go on the run that she has gone on has just been absolutely incredible to watch. And really, one of the greatest runs, I mean, in the last 20 or 30 years in golf overall. So it really has been something special. Like you said, I mean, the rest of the field seems to be playing for second place at this point. That never is the case at a major, especially at a place like Lancaster Country Club, where it should be a little rowdy and raucous, which will be fun. But yeah, I mean, she has been head and shoulders above everyone else.
When you talk about elevating Korda, Tim, it's on three parties, isn't it? It's on Korda to be, you know, you've got to do the self-marketing in 2024. The LPGA media, you know, needs to to be beneficial in that aspect too with their media program. And then it's on, you know, radio announcers like Charlie and I, writers and editors like you and Adam. We have to work together if we want to elevate that side of the game, right?
Yeah, and it does start with Nelly, and you know, it's interesting because, as we all know, Tiger was not really, I wouldn't call him media savvy. He was not someone who loved that the way maybe Phil or other players loved it. You know, Bryson DeChambeau couldn't get enough of the spotlight during his run a couple years ago. Nelly is certainly not that person, and so I think she needs some nudging. I also think that her team, you know, it's a process to get her to kind of crack out of her shell a little bit. They're trying. I mean, she went to the Met Gala. That was one of the big events that, you know, LPGA players typically don't take part in. And, you know, I love watching all the Met Gala dresses and all that stuff after the fact. The fact that she was part of that was really fascinating for me. But, you know, it takes her, but it also takes a team, and it takes a stronger LPGA to push a little bit and explain to her, look, this is something that can transform our game. So I think she's gotten the message. I hope she and her team have gotten the message. It's still, we'll see. The U.S. Women's Open is always by far the biggest draw for the women's game. Let's see what the media hype is like. Let's see what she puts in next week or surrounding that, and also the ways that the LPGA plays it up. So this is a big week for them next week, and I think that if she plays well, if the numbers are good, with the, you know, this has been building up to this moment. This could really be Nelly's real national coming out party, not as an LPGA golfer, as a superstar in the sports world. She is already established. People in the golf world know her, but I'm talking about, you know, your grandmother and your sister and whomever talking around the dinner table about Nelly Korda. This could be that week coming up at the U.S. Women's Open.
Tim, nice spot there on the LPGA. You mentioned Bryson. You know, it's funny, when we first met, it was around the time the Brooks versus Bryson drama was heating up after the 2021 PGA Championship. You know, we talked a lot about what DeChambeau does as far as moving the needle in golf. You know, we know last year he was caught up in the protein shakes and long drive competitions. This year he's kind of slendered his body back to, you know, the body that we saw win the 2020 U.S. Open at Wingfoot. He has, you know, top 10 in these first two majors of the year. It seems like the Bryson DeChambeau experience is back in action. Let me get your feel there.
You know, it's interesting. I may have told you guys this before, but our esteemed PGA Tour writer, Steve DiMeglio, who has left us, he's battling cancer now, but he was kind of known as the Tiger Whisperer for USA Today for many years. He was close with Tiger's team, and he almost had that as a beat to himself, where he would, yes, cover tournaments, but he would also primarily focus on Tiger Woods, which of course made sense for so many years, still even to a point does. But at one point,
it's like the Taylor Swift writer for USA Today.
What's that?
It's like USA Today's specific writer for Taylor Swift.
Exactly, the Taylor Swift writer, which was, you know, a big transformation for our company to kind of dig into that. Exactly, that's a great point. But at one point about 3 years ago, we had internal discussions about taking Steve off of the Tiger Woods beat and making him like a full-time Bryson DeChambeau reporter. Remember, he was going on Twitch and going through his daily workouts and doing all these things, engaging young fans. And we had that discussion. Think about a year ago. We didn't hear Bryson DeChambeau's name for like months at a time. I mean, this is a guy who just basically fell off the map. And you're right, Will. I mean, the fact that he kind of just allowed his body to get back to the natural state that it was at. Remember, this guy had an incredible career at SMU, an incredible amateur career. This is not like a guy who suddenly transformed himself like Brooks Koepka did after he didn't win a thing at Florida State. This is a guy who had really come into this game with just so much in terms of prestige and a buildup around his college and amateur career to kind of revert to just being a golfer instead of being like a bodybuilder and a freak show on the side. I think Bryson has finally again found his niche. This is a very, very good golfer. And the fact that he has gotten back to kind of, I'm not going to say keeping his mouth shut. He still does a lot on social media, but focusing on the game rather than trying to show us his club head speed and the freakish workouts that he's going through and the insane, you know, diet that he was putting his body through. He's become a golfer again. He's maturing into the player that I think we all thought. And I'm actually at the point now where there was a while, a year or two ago, I kind of, you know, internally we're all supposed to be unbiased reporters, but I have to admit, I kind of rooted against him a little bit. Now it's the opposite. I like seeing him back in these events. And to be honest, I want him there on Sunday. It makes golf more interesting when Bryson DeChambeau is near the top of the leaderboard.
Well, and he's done such a great job understanding ball flight and the use of his equipment, and he's adapted his equipment to the speed that he can generate. And I really think that's really important. And he hit a couple of shots with some irons on Sunday afternoon that really they didn't talk enough about, and how 8 iron, 200 yards or, yeah, you know. And so he's more of a scientist, and also he's a scientist about his body, but his equipment and his way of setting it up is very important. And then also his putting has really, I've watched him a lot when I was out watching Cabrera for many years, and his routine of practicing putting and his being very upright. And he reminded me of Paul Runyon, and Paul Runyon in his day was very upright with his lies and especially with his putting. So I've enjoyed DeChambeau a lot. And he's going to get better as we go along. And if they can ever make a deal with Liv, that's going to help us a lot. And we're going to host a LIV tournament in a couple of weeks at Golf Club of Houston. And I hope he comes, because I'm going to be out there watching him.
Yeah, Tim, we'll have to get you on to preview LIV Houston. We'll do that again. Last question before I have to let you go. How about your take on the new Colonial?
Yeah, you know, it is so interesting to hear the reaction from all these players who, you know, as I talked with yesterday, the tournament chairman, the tournament director, and the tournament chairman, Jim Whitten, is kind of a fascinating guy. The members and the folks at Colonial have a little more power than other PGA Tour events because it is a member-run event. And so Jim Whitten really was kind of instrumental in helping get Gil Hance and Ryan Palmer, who's a member out of Colonial, together and talk through the renovation and get on the same page. And it's interesting to hear them say, you know what? We didn't do this for the tour. We did this for the members. Like, the tour players already loved Colonial. They loved coming here. They think it's a great club. They think it's a great golf course. The reason that they did this was because the membership wanted in 20 years to be able to play a golf course that you can run up and do some things that members need to do, players in my age, not players in their mid-20s. You know what, though? The folks who have played this week almost to a T have said, look, there are subtle changes. There are some things that have kept this golf course to the way that we loved it before and why we loved coming here. But the new upgrades and some of the pieces, the greens are rolling firm and fast and true. The fairways are as good as ever. It's a really beautiful golf course. And Gil Hance, I mean, you know, $20 million is a lot of money, guys. You could do a lot with $20 million. But they used it and they did it. And, man, it is a beautiful and polished golf course. It's going to be on the PGA Tour for a long, long time.
Well, Tim, great update. Great to hear your voice. We're going to get another update from you before LIV Houston. We appreciate you taking some time this morning from Colonial to join us.
Always great to talk to you guys.
Talk soon, Tim. On the other side, we're going to get Brentley Roman in of NBC Sports live from the NCAA Championships right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5, presented by Insperity. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Powered by Insperity.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Will Docker and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here we go. Last segment on a Saturday morning. Charlie Epps Golf Hour is by Insperity, HR that makes a difference. Brentley Romine now joins the show. He covers college golf for NBC Sports. And he is live from Carlsbad, California, where the second round of the NCAA Men's Championships will begin in just a bit. Brentley, great to start the week with Stanford taking home the women's team championship, and Anna Cernusek from Texas A&M taking home the individual. Thanks for waking up early on the West Coast to join us this morning.
Hey, I'm so honored that you guys chose me best for last, I guess, right?
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, we had, listen, a lot of news with the NCAA, Brentley. Let's talk about the announcement on Thursday that the NCAA will now begin to pay athletes directly, and all Division I athletes dating back to 2016 are eligible to receive a share. We know the athletes from the revenue-generating sports like football and basketball will be taken care of. What about golf? Will Gordon Sargent and Preston Strout receive a paycheck from the NCAA next year?
You know, I think it's too early to tell, but I think the short answer is yes, in some capacity. And look, I mean, money is tangible, right? Like, just because they aren't getting this bucket of money doesn't mean that because other guys are getting that bucket of money, the money that those guys are getting will now, you know, matriculate over to these other athletes. And golf's kind of a different game than the other, you know, quote unquote non-revenue sports, because if you're an alumni of a university and you didn't play a sport, you tend to gravitate toward golf, whether it's in business or later in life, just recreationally. So you love the game. And so that's why you're seeing, I think it's Florida State that has a collective that is specifically for football and golf. So I think golf's in a good spot. The thing that came out of yesterday's news, too, that kind of interests me is these roster caps and the fact that we're moving toward no scholarship limitations, but we're going to have roster caps. And the number I keep hearing floated around for golf is 8 players. So if Oklahoma State can only have 8 players on their roster, what does that do? You know, the 9th and 10th players historically on that team has been pretty good. Do they then make a lower Power 5 or a high mid-major better? Like, or in, I mean, if you keep going down the line, that's fewer spots for Division I golfers. Does that then make Division II a little bit more competitive? So that's kind of what I'm looking to see, what comes out of this roster cap thing, too, in addition to the $20 million that are going to be able to be doled out to these athletes.
Well, you know, this is Charlie Epps, and I appreciate all the work you do for college golf, and especially the NCAA championships are really a way to promote the game, and the alumni love golf. I mean, all of the football players that played for the universities are on the golf courses, so golf is very popular. But we're going to have a few growing pains. I still really can't get my hands around how they're going to dole out the money. I don't think it'll hurt the sport. I think it's about time, be honest with you. NCAA has made billions of dollars, and I still don't know where it has all gone. But this tournament that you're at now is the selling point for great golf. And I think golf is going to be a very important part, because it's not only male, it's female. And it's a good way to promote the game and create guys that are great role models to all of the kids playing golf.
Yeah, Brentley, I mean, Lottie Woad, Latonna Stone, Anna Davis, Amari Avery. Seems like the LPGA is just in the best of shape when you look at the next 5 to 8 years and what the NCAA is producing.
For sure. And Amari Avery getting ready to turn pro as well. So these are exciting young women with kind of different games than, you know, we saw maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago on the women's side. A lot of power, a lot of spin, great personalities, make a lot of birdies. It's going to be fun to see, you know, the Amaris, and obviously Rose starting to get back into the swing of things with her game as well.
Brentley, so many good teams at the top of this leaderboard at the NCAA. You know, Virginia, Arizona. You have Texas going for their third title in 12 years. You know, Georgia Tech is trying to bring one home after getting routed by Florida in the finals last year. Oklahoma trying to pick up their second title in the last decade. But what about this Stanford team? I know They're not quite in contention there, but you look at three of these top five names for Stanford, Michael Thorbjørnsen, Barclay Brown, and Carl Phillips. Those are three names I believe could be great on the PGA Tour. I loved your story on Phillips to discuss the fire he plays with, and I think Thorbjørnsen has a swing that can produce dominant results. Do you see the same potential that everyone else does with this trio at Stanford?
Yeah, with the way their season's gone, right, they kind of entered here as a little bit of a sleeper. And, you know, even though they're tied for 12th right now, they're only two shots back of the eighth spot, which after 72 holes, we go into match play. That's all you're really trying to do is get into that final eight and kind of give yourself a chance, and then a new tournament starts and anything can happen. But if Stanford was a squad that got off to a rocky start. I mean, Michael Thorbjørnsen was not only in a back brace, but he was in a walking boot and crutches because he had ankle surgery as well as he's trying to recover from the stress fracture in his back. So he was saying there were multiple weeks in a row where, you know, early September, late August, where he was just laying in bed, could not do anything. But a credit to him. I mean, he stayed disciplined with his rehab, and he got back this spring and won Cabo a few events into his spring, and he's just been playing some great golf. Didn't have the best of NCAA regionals, but ended up shooting that bogey-free 64 at the end as Stanford kind of snuck in there on their home golf course. But, look, I mean, having Thor out in the fall, it put Stanford behind the eight ball in terms of the 500 rule, which very similar to the other sports. In order to qualify for the postseason, your head-to-head record has to be above 500. And Stanford was at one point, gosh, like 40 or 50 wins below to start the spring. And they were fighting for their lives every single tournament. There was a point there with about three or four events left where they had to finish third or better each time out. And they go and do that. They actually kind of advanced comfortably into the postseason as well. But, yeah, you're right. With those three at the top, Barclay Brown has struggled with the driver. He's kind of figuring out a different approach off the tee where he doesn't have to hit that club as much. And when he does, he's a little bit more comfortable with it now. Putter's starting to get hot, too. And Carl, I mean, I wrote that story yesterday about him. Doesn't have a three-wood in the bag because he broke it in half with about five holes to play in the final round last week. You know, he's one of those guys, Conrad Ray, his head coach, was telling me that if he gets in his head that he doesn't like a club and a club's not working, like, it might as well just not be in the bag. And it's not in the bag anymore. He added a TaylorMade P92 iron. He's been hitting that a lot this week. And that round yesterday, to go bogey-free around this golf course, adds in three birdies as well. That's some impressive stuff, because if anyone goes on the course stats on Golf Stat and looks at this golf course, it's the back nine is insane. Holes 12 to 17, those are six of the seven toughest holes on the golf course. At one point during the women's tournament, the 15th hole, par four, had the most triples or worse on the golf course and has yielded the most birdies as well. So a lot of variance, a lot of excitement, a lot of big numbers yesterday, and we still got 54 holes left.
Brentley, last question for you. We've got 1 minute talking about Cinderella stories. This East Tennessee State team is contending with the big dogs. They're right there in the mix. They made headlines earlier this week when a video surfaced of a Delta employee tossing clubs out of the plane and onto the tarmac. This video has 8 million views. That's a big number. Delta has since issued an apology. Has that given this East Carolina State team any extra mojo to be the Cinderella story this week?
Finalist for the Dave Williams National Coach of the Year Award. If you have Matt Zegi, kid from Norway, if you have him at the top of the lineup, anything's possible. So they're T9 right now, a shot out of 8. I actually picked them to make match play. But another Cinderella I like real quickly, 15th ranked team in the country, not a huge Cinderella, but the Arizona Wildcats. They're tied for first right now. And if you look back at the last three national team champions, they were all number two seeds at regionals that finished fourth. Arizona was the number two seed at regional this year and finished fourth up there in West Lafayette. So some history on their side.
Brentley Romine, NBC Sports, great spot. Thanks for waking up early there on the West Coast in Carlsbad. Give us an update from the NCAAs. Brentley, we'll talk very soon. Thank you, my friend.
Awesome.
All right, Charlie, great show today. Everyone have a great weekend watching Colonial. You've got the senior PGA. Should be a great weekend of watching golf. You've got the NCAAs. Great to hear from Brindley there.
Everybody go out and play golf.
ESPN 97.5.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,